Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. The number 603-283-6160. We are going to get into Nigeria with regard to the central bank digital currency.
We're taking a field trip?
CBDC. Unfortunately, no, Captain, I'm not allowed to leave New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But it's an interesting place. There's a lot of Bitcoin interest in Nigeria, as we were discussing a moment ago. And it's also the place, the first, I believe, country, or one of the first couple, to roll out the central bank digital currency, which a lot of countries, governments, people's central banks are talking about and or planning on doing.
I think not a lot of listeners, when they hear Nigeria, are probably aware of the population. It's a couple hundred.
200 million people. Yeah. It is a very big place.
And what's the U.S.? 300 something?
About 330,
right.
I think.
So,
right now,
I mean,
it's huge.
Two-thirds of the U.S. population.
Wow.
That's pretty big.
With you in the studio, it's me, Ian.
David.
And the captain.
David Hathaway is joining us here from Arizona. He is a sheriff of a border county down there, elected sheriff in Santa Cruz County. And so you're no stranger when it comes to immigration and things going on. We talked about that earlier. But let's jump into the story here from Mises.org, because it is detailed and it's very, very interesting, especially for those of you out there. You've heard us talking about CBDCs a lot here, especially on the Saturday night show. We're very concerned with the introduction of this concept here in the United States. So let's look at what happened when they introduced it in a country of 200 million people in Africa. According to Mises.org, that's Mises.org, they say it's no coincidence, and by the way, this is Jan M. Fajor writing this, that Nigeria, with a population over 200 million, became the first serious global testing ground for central bank digital currency implementation. Not only is it the wealthiest country on the continent where the globalists are making plans, but Nigeria also possesses significant hydrocarbon and metals reserves and talented citizens. For these reasons, it can serve as a relatively good example for the rest of the poorest continents. Geopolitical considerations are not insignificant. The Davos globalists, who've been present in Nigeria for some time, feel that if they do not take care of Nigeria, the Russians, present there since the Soviet era, will do it. Political interests in Nigeria are also being sought after by the Chinese, who have been building railways, roads, airports, and mining companies in Nigeria while simultaneously cultivating good relationships with tribal and political leaders. And of course, we know that China is also in the process of implementing a CBDC. They do have it, but it hasn't been rolled out across the entirety of China quite yet. So here's a timeline of the establishment of the what is called the e-Naira. So the Naira is the Nigerian currency, N-A-I-R-A, and so the e-Naira is the electronic Nigerian central bank digital currency. Although the attempt to digitize the Nigerian currency ended in failure, it carries a lesson for the rest of the world. On October 25th of 2022, so about a year ago, 1 year after the national referendum on the establishment of the CBDC in Nigeria, in which 99.5% of the citizens voted against digitalizing the currency.
That's important. Like, most people didn't want this.
Then the president of the country, Muhammadu Buhari, from the Fulani tribe, issued a decree that despite the opposition of the majority of the nation, the financial revolution would still take place.
No. So even though you didn't want it, we're going to do it anyway because we're the state.
Yeah, and now that's interesting because I didn't realize that was true about the CBDC in Nigeria. I didn't know they actually had a vote on this thing. But they're going to shove it down their throat anyway, because remember when we talked about it, it was only like half a percentage of the portion of the population was even using the CBDC. So not only did the vote translate it, the vote completely translated into reality. Like, they were unable to sell even an extra 0.5% of the Nigerian population on adopting this thing, even after it came out.
To be fair, this happens in the U.S. as well. When I was in the Seattle, Washington area, they destroyed whatever dome, sports dome was there. Mm-hmm. They took a vote before they destroyed it. Of course, they took a vote like, how many people want the new sports facility? And everybody's like, nope.
To pay X billion dollars.
Yeah, like it's
right?
gonna, your taxes are going to go up. And, you know, and everybody voted it down and it happened anyway.
I can think of a couple examples of that. My county wanted to adopt a 75-page model health ordinance that had, you know, farmers markets had food had to be prepared in a commercial kitchen. They had a public comment period. Every single person, including us, was opposed to the idea. There was not one person that was in favor of it. But since the health department presented the document to the Board of Supervisors, they went with it anyway, and they passed it. Another example, the city that we live near, Nogales, Arizona, wanted to annex my family's ranch and a bunch of other property around us. They had a public comment period. Nobody was in favor of it. I spent $10,000 of my own money doing billboards and advertising and radio interviews to oppose it, and we eventually got it shut down. But when nobody was in favor of it, the government went ahead and did it anyway. Like, they had public comment period, no comments in favor of annexation, went ahead with the plan anyway. Sorry.
Same thing happened here with the Bearcat years ago, ago, where 80 to 90%. We're on the record against this. That's what the city councilors were saying, that they were getting 80 to 90% of their contacts were against the Bearcat, which is a tank, basically.
It is.
That's an armored personnel carrier for the police. And they passed it overwhelmingly just because the cops wanted it. Everyone that spoke at the council meeting about it spoke against it, with the exception of the police. That's literally how that went. Anyway. So back to Nigeria. In December of 2022, the government in Abuja launched a total attack on cash. The situation resembled events from 2016 in India, where the government demonetized the highest denomination banknotes. So that's like when the U.S. government, in the name of the war on drugs, if I recall correctly, took out the $500 and the $1,000 notes.
Right.
That happened. A long time ago. That was what, like 70s or something like that? I don't even know when they did that.
It was a long time ago, maybe 45, 50 years, something like that.
So they did the same thing there, where they just got rid of the higher level banknotes just to make currency even more, you know, useless and frustrating for people. They announced that by the end of January of 2023...
And to supposedly prevent inflation. If you can't have more zeros on your money, then it'll retain its value.
I don't think that was the given reason for it. But by the end of January 2023, and that was later extended to February 10th, Nigeria would fully transition from physical cash to e-Naira, the central bank's digital currency. People were required to transfer their cash holdings to the central bank, which would service them under the new monetary regime. The executive order was carried out by then-governor of the CBN, Godwin Emphile, from the Igbo tribe, a general and the only Christian in the country's Islamic ruling elite. Well-informed sources claimed that the guidelines, both in know-how and digitalization supervision, were provided by circles close to the International Monetary Fund and the World Economic Forum and even the Bureau of Industry and Security.
All the usual criminals.
When on February 10th arrived and about 80% of the $7.2 billion previously in private hands ended up in digital accounts as the CBDC, the poorer segment of the population, over half of the people, still did not have bank accounts. Despite assurances from the CBN that the physical cash would not be eliminated until the CBDC was fully operational, half of the nation was left with old, worthless banknotes. Commuters to and from the capital were left without cash to pay for their return transportation. Many small businesses, a significant part of the economy that relies on cash payments, closed because their customers had no money to pay.
So wait, this is the result of people turning their cash into the banks to get credits in their CBDC accounts?
That's what they're
saying
here.
Or did the government just, you know, we're taking the cash off the streets whenever it came in and never put it back out?
That's what it sounds like they're saying here, and this part of the story I was not aware of. So, you know, once we get to the part that I was aware of, which was that they were introducing new banknotes.
Sure.
The story we were reporting was that there was a new Naira, not a digital one. That's a separate thing. But there was an actual new physical Naira that they wanted people to swap out, and then they said, "Oh, whoops, we don't have enough of these new Naira to handle all the people swapping the old Naira. And that's what supposedly set people out into the streets, because they couldn't get usable currency and they're not willing to use the e-Naira.
I think there's more on that later.
Yeah. So February 10th, when it arrived, and again, a lot of people didn't have the bank accounts in order to have the CBDC. It says here, commuters to and from the capital were left without cash to pay for transportation. Businesses shut down. It's easy to understand why violent riots erupted in the country on February 16th, resulting in casualties. Deprived of their entire wealth, desperate and hungry people took to the streets, demanding the reinstatement of the validity of the old paper currency. Rumors circulated that the Buhari government had issued a new paper currency, the new Naira, to be used temporarily. By the end of January 2023, transactions using e-Naira were operating smoothly, but were limited to representatives of the middle class, totaling just 35 to 40 million people in Nigeria. The vast majority of Nigerians who use cash in their daily lives ran around fruitlessly searching to exchange their old money for anything they could eat. The rumor that Buhari's government issued new currency was confirmed in the last days of January 2023. Okay. The problem was the new cash was nowhere to be found. Even today, when the central bank has withdrawn from the experiment, the supply of new cash did not even reach 10% of the entire Nigerian currency supply. There is no new money anywhere, and even if it were, there's no possibility of mass exchanging the old invalidated Naira for the new. Despite the events of February 16th, the government acknowledged that the, quote, newly issued currency is intended to meet the demands of the protesters and restore their purchasing power. So that's interesting. That aspect was not covered at all in the whatever coverage we were reading of the riots that were going on. What we had read was that the government had made this announcement, all right, y'all, you got these old currency, and we're going to replace it with this new currency. So, like, remember in the 90s when they had the dollars here in the United States where the faces on it or the portraits were small?
Yep.
And then they blew it up to, like, really big? Remember when that switch
was the redesign of the dollar, and so all of the old ones were getting exchanged at banks or whatever, and the new ones are put into circulation.
Right. So we've been through something like what they're talking about here, but the way they handled it there was they basically said, okay, we're introducing this new Naira. We're going to cut off your legal ability to use the old Naira, which they didn't do here, right? It just took 2 decades or whatever, and they finally filtered out the old stuff and they put out the new stuff. But in Nigeria, they said, we're cutting these old Naira off. You won't be able to use them anymore. So if you've got Naira under your mattress, if you've got it, you know, shoved in the car or wherever in the glove box, you need to get the old Naira out from storage. You need to come down to your local bank and switch it out for the new Naira. Now, the theory was that this was all, you know, essentially a ruse to get people onto the e-Naira or the CBDC. Like, oh, whoops. We're out of the new Naira. Turns out we don't have enough of it, but we have this electronic e-Naira over here. So what say we just open you up a bank account here and you can just get on the e-Naira system? That seemed to be kind of the pitch or what was going on, but they didn't expect people to take to the streets and start busting up the banks,
well,
literally.
And I don't want to get ahead, but this seems very Hegelian dialectic.
Problem-solution.
Problem-reaction-solution.
Reaction-solution.
So, like, they've created this problem. Right? Okay, well, we're going to issue the e-currency, and then we're going to, like, no longer recognize the cash that's floating around, and now creates this problem. What happens next?
A huge problem. Yeah, so apparently what happened, according to Mises.org, again, the government announcing that the new currency was to meet the demands of the protesters, acting as though they'd never had a plan to have the new currency.
Now we're going to solve the problem, right?
Even the brightest Nigerians were unable to understand how the government planned to eliminate the existing cash and issue new money just a few weeks before the general elections that were scheduled for February 24th. Didn't the government risk an obvious defeat amidst the chaos? Well, no. The new cash was the guarantee of electoral victory. It was intended to be distributed to the poor, but significant majority, so they would know who to vote for democratically.
Yeah, so nothing makes people vote for you more than like, here, I'll give you money.
As predicted, the new president of Nigeria is a representative of the ruling party, the very same one responsible for the chaos. It's important to note that we're talking about a country that was already struggling with a currency crisis, soaring inflation, and fuel shortages, despite being Africa's largest oil producer, where a severe lack of money and never-ending queues at ATMs have been prevalent for years. Even dollars were scarce, despite black market premiums. The situation of uncertainty and danger persisted for 3.5 months until the inauguration of the new president, Bola Ahmed Tinubu from the Yoruba tribe, a former civilian governor of the Lagos state. On May 29th of this year, approximately 108 days after the actual cash elimination, the new president, President Tinubu, restored the validity of the old currency alongside the new Naira and the e-Naira. So it took him 108 days. These people were, you know, having to scrape for anything they could possibly get a hold of that businesses that were still open would be willing to accept in order to buy food. And then finally the government decided, okay, we decided you can use the old Naira again because they were sick and tired of people destroying the banks, I suppose, and
you
the
know,
riots.
I think when the CBDC gets rolled out here, at first it'll be sold as there's no restrictive aspects to it. There's no social credit score.
Of course
there's
not.
No,
that would never
happen. You're doing the wrong
here.
Thing. You're buying a gun, but you're not going to a FFL dealer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll just be, you know, the carrot without the stick. It'll
I
be like,
right.
You know, you're underprivileged. You're a student. You need some relief on your college expenses, on your student loans. You're poor, and you need some more food. And it'll all be... here we're going to add some money to your account, to your digital wallet.
Right.
And, you know, and then when everybody gets hooked on it, then the kind of the restrictions, you know, the behavior monitoring.
It'll be like the old AOL CDs. They're just going to show up in your mailbox,
exactly.
Addressed to you, and going to have $500 on it or whatever.
Yeah, you know what's really funny? Speaking of digital wallets, like I checked on my phone today, my online Wells Fargo account today, just to make sure that they didn't do as they've done before, like shut off my card if I'm on a trip or something
right,
like that.
Yeah.
Because, oh, you're outside of your normal area. You shouldn't be able to, you know, spend your money.
You.
But anyway, so I hadn't looked at it in a while. And on the menu bar, there was a new option called digital wallet. And I thought, okay, they think
mean?
There may be some weirdos out there that have heard of this Bitcoin thing. You know, they've heard of the blockchain.
Yeah.
So maybe people will get enticed into thinking digital wallet has some, like, magic cachet to it. So, you know, I went and read about it, and all it is just spending your regular dollars, and then just your phone generates a QR code that you can slap
on. Oh, it's the tap and scan.
But it's like they know people have heard this. Like, maybe you're kind of living on the wild side if you have a digital wallet, but it's nothing different than you know,
like
the
Venmo or something.
Venmo, or where you just tap your phone or use your debit card with the chip in it.
They just updated the app a little bit.
There's this kind of sense that, well, maybe we're doing it too. Maybe kind of like, you know, we're doing blockchain too
right, over here
at Wells Fargo, but it's the same.
No, they're not.
It's the same Federal Reserve money that they're pumping out, and they have no limits. You know, the fractional reserve banking.
That's just the beta for the upcoming U.S. CBDC.
Yeah.
That digital wallet.
You know, it is.
Well, right.
And,
infrastructure.
And it's nothing like a digital wallet, but they know people have heard that. They know people have watched the news and think, oh, what is this mysterious new thing that the youngins are talking about?
Yeah, politicians and the media have done a really good job of confusing people by using terminology like digital wallet instead
blockchain,
of... Yeah. Crypto wallet, right?
Yeah.
So, like, people can conflate the two because they're, oh, well, Bitcoin's a digital currency.
It's
well,
already
okay.
happening with the mainstream media when talking about CBDCs will use the term cryptocurrency interchangeable
right.
with a CBDC.
Oh,
and
yeah.
that is not what the C's in CBDC stands for.
Right. Yeah.
It's central bank digital currency. They have complete control over it. You mentioned a beta of the CBDC. Well, that's what is going on in Nigeria, right?
Yeah.
So they have a CBDC. They rolled it out.
Yep.
And they tried the maximum force kind of push of the CBDC. I think they just wanted to see what would happen.
Sure.
Like, are these people going to rise up when we force them to use the CBDC?
And software we call this a test bed.
Yeah. And they did. And it's a big test bed. 200 million people in apparently the richest country in Africa. This was a big move by these central bankers. It didn't work because the people in Africa would not put up with this. They want to, you know, buy food for their family. Turns out people want that sort of thing. And they were willing to go and literally smash up the banks. Go look up the footage of this. I mean, it's absolutely amazing, some of the stuff that we saw happening. So they're not going to want this to happen in the United States.
Yeah, okay? It's kind of why I think it, when I've seen, and I've lived in third world countries that had competing currencies all around them, when it's kind of good when not one currency
is in control.
So dominant and so in control, yeah, and so overwhelmingly in use. Even some of those little third world countries, their currency could completely fail and has completely failed, like, yeah, in Latin America, and they can easily adopt the currency of the neighboring country, or dollars or something, mm-hmm, else, or yen or whatever, euros, whatever's out there.
Right.
All those things circulate like in South America. But a country like the U.S. that has more of a death grip on, you know, legal tender laws and
right,
the banking system and, you know, KYC, know your customer and all this, and the ability to drop the OFAC bomb, you know, the Office of Foreign Asset Control, where they, mm-hmm, can just declare a banking institution to be suspect because of some partnering institution it has in another country, and they can just shut down banking institutions very,
sure,
easily.
Yep.
And then, you know, if that happened in the U.S., I don't think people would just readily shift to using the euro, or they wouldn't even know there's that option.
How.
But other, yeah, foreigners are used to doing that.
Right, that's a good point. And also, that's the reason why the U.S. federal government gang is going so hard against cryptocurrency, because it is an alternative. Mm-hmm. People are learning about it. They are adopting it slowly.
It is as easy as downloading an app and figuring out how to operate,
yeah,
that app.
But they see the threat from that, and they know it's a real threat to the dominance of the dollar within the United States. Now, the dollar is being threatened, its dominance on the world stage, and that's a whole different matter, and we've, yeah, talked about BRICS and all that. But let's focus a little more on Nigeria here. So why do they do this? Why, after 108 days of this experiment of trying to force people to use the e-Naira, did they change it? He says here at Mises.org, was the new president forced to do so by overseers of the experiment from the IMF, the Fed, or the World Economic Forum? If so, why did it take them 3.5 months to condemn 100 million people to starvation? Political observers in Abuja believe that no one intervened. President Bola Tinubu put an end to the experiment and stuck to his position. Once he invalidated the CBDC, he ordered an investigation into the Central Bank of Nigeria, resulting in the unprecedented detention of the former CBN governor, Godwin Emefiele, and on June 10th of this year, he was arrested on June 10th. In late July, the court released him from custody, but the security service rearrested him and is holding him in custody. The investigation is ongoing. So imagine the Federal Reserve Chairman being arrested here in the United States.
I wouldn't be surprised, but like,
no way, that'll never happen.
I mean, I would be surprised,
yeah,
but like, I'm not surprised that, you know, once somebody conducts an investigation into central banks, that they find all these guys are crooks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
surprise.
I could see that happening in the U.S. if it got really to the point where everything's really, really totally falling apart, where somebody, you know, Caesar claims that his hands were clean all along, and there's these other dirty scoundrels that are running these federal
agencies.
Somebody
else takes the fall.
Somebody else takes the fall, too. Yeah.
There's more to say about what has happened in Nigeria, but have they really shut down the CBDC? That's what the article here suggests. But it also says that the president restored the validity of the old currency alongside the new Naira and the e-Naira. So has it really been shut down, or is it still lurking out there? There's more coming up here. You can share your thoughts with us here on Free Talk Live.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You USA News Update. Police in Las Vegas announced an arrest in the murder of rapper Tupac Shakur. Dwayne Davis has been arrested in the 1996 murder of the rapper, who was shot at a red light near the Las Vegas Strip. More auto workers joining the picket line as the UAW and Ford failed to come to an agreement after 2 weeks of talks. Laura Winters has details.
The president of the United Auto Workers, Sean Fain, says there's a long way to go before the union reaches a deal with Ford. The UAW expanding its strike with more workers joining the picket line at factories in Illinois and Michigan. More than 25,000 auto workers on strike right now.
The Navy will begin random testing of special operations forces for steroids and other performance-enhancing drugs. That'll all start in November. Those who test positive face discipline or removal. The commander of the Navy Special Warfare Command called it necessary to protect their health and military readiness. The Army is expected to follow suit. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Yeah! It is Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here if you want to comment. Whatever's on your mind, although we are talking about the CBDC, the Central Bank Digital Currency, something that unfortunately you are likely to hear more about in mainstream media over time as they get closer and closer to finally announcing what seems like an inevitability in the United States, but it has not yet been announced. They've been experimenting. They've had, I think it was MIT and some other programmer types have cooked up a purported what could look like here in the United States to have a CBDC, some sort of system of
They've
software.
Been running simulations for years.
At least the last couple of years, they have indeed been doing that. But all of this has been happening sort of as they've been trying to figure out whether or not, supposedly, they want to move forward with this. Congress has not yet authorized such a move, and presumably they would need to do so in order for this concept to move forward. And what is the CBDC concept? Do either of you want to try to explain for our listeners what
Well, whatever it is, what we have now of the paper currency, and I think, what is it, over 99% of actual dollars are not in paper form, but it's right. So beyond what the Constitution envisioned, you know, mm-hmm. of gold and silver coinage, you know, that it's so far beyond what the Founding Fathers, you know, anticipated that, you know, I don't know what what it could wind up turning into next.
Well, to me, if Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, decentralized currency, is a money of the people, mm-hmm. right, then privacy coins like, I don't know, Monero, for example, are freedom coin, okay. right?
Yep.
CBDCs are slave coin.
I like that.
Right? Because somebody else controls it and wants to control you with it. That's where it's coming from. That's what it's designed to do. Why you would support anything like that, I'll never know. There's already plenty of cryptocurrency options. There's stuff called stable coins. Mm-hmm. There are several of them that are pegged to the value of the U.S. dollar. And so if you want to transact in dollars or arbitrage or anything like that, you can do so. And, David, you made a great point. The U.S. dollar already exists mainly in the digital domain.
And as we were talking about on the break, Captain, when these you know, central bank digital currencies come along, nobody's going to want, if they're convertible to Bitcoin, if they're convertible to decentralized blockchain-based mm-hmm. digital currencies, there's nothing that would prevent all the value from flowing into, say, something like Bitcoin or Dash, because that's not inflatable,
right.
and it's never going to have a social restriction on how you can use it, and it's it can be used for anything. So I think they're going to have to come up with something that precludes people from ever converting all of these currencies, all these digital currencies, these state-run digital currencies, into a private-based, version of a cryptocurrency.
Well, I mentioned this off the air during the break, and that is that they're Chase Bank, one of the largest, probably top three, I think it's number two or something like that, banks in the United States, recently sent out a notice to all of their customers saying, for your protection... We're going to be prohibiting you from buying cryptocurrency with your Chase Bank account if you feel the need to buy crypto, but we recommend against it because there's a lot of fraud and scams in crypto. They literally say this in this, I don't have the exact terms, but I'm paraphrasing it. Well, if you do insist on buying crypto, you'll have to find another bank in order to do that. And so, of course, this will likely happen with more of the big banks, but at a CBDC level, they'll just simply block any transactions to Kraken or Coinbase right. or, you name it, whatever known cryptocurrency exchanges are out there. And, of course, they'll still be putting into prison people like the Crypto Six and Mark Hopkins and these other people who are doing what you call peer-to-peer sales of cryptocurrency. So they're going to keep this crackdown going. I think you're absolutely right, David, that CBDC will be prohibited from being used for buying its competition.
Well, and, of course... they will say that, well, you don't need cryptocurrency now because mm-hmm. we're giving you this CBDC. It's just like Bitcoin.
No, it isn't. It's digital.
No, it isn't.
Yeah. And there's a lot of reasons why it's not. But anyway, so the idea of the CBDC gives them, they being the central bank and the federal government thugs, total control over your money. They can ban you from buying certain things. They can punish you for doing certain things or saying certain things, having certain opinions or whatever. And as you said, David, they probably won't start with that program, but that may be coming later on once people start using the CBDC, once they start getting used to it, once they start issuing welfare payments on the CBDC or tax returns. And all these government issuances will start coming in, or UBI, the basic income idea. All these things will likely be put on the CBDC.
Yeah, they got a nice pilot of that too, the UBI during mm-hmm. the COVID, when they sent everybody their what was it, $1,200 total, checks. It was like $600, and
I think it was like a $1,200
or the 12 and six or something. I don't remember what it was, but yeah, they got to issue folks money. Now for me personally, the first payment that I got was on a paper check.
Mm-hmm.
I just deposited it into my bank account.
Sure.
You do with a check. But the next one came to me as a prepaid debit card.
Mm.
It had the Visa logo on it, I believe, or mm-hmm. MasterCard, one of the two, the top two anyway. And I had to go online and figure out where I could go to extract that amount of USD cash without paying a fee.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you just took it to your bank and were like, hey, I got this from the government, can I have my money?
Nope.
And they'd be like, no, we're going to take a cut and give you what's left over. You're like, well, wait a minute, this is supposed to be a government issued thing. Why are you taking a cut? Oh, well, because we bankers have to service these accounts,
sure,
you see.
Sure.
And so there was only like a couple of, like, I think pharmacies and, like, one grocery store that had the appropriate branded ATM that you could take this card into and get your cash out without being charged a fee. The caveat here is that even though you could go to that ATM and do that without and get your full, let's say it was the $1,200, you could only pull out like $300 at a time per day.
You know, it's funny, when we got our, whatever it's called, stimulus check.
Yeah.
I'm pointing to my wife, Karen. She remembers this. We got a paper check, and we've never given the federal government on any tax forms any bank account information ever. And then the second one came in direct deposit to our bank account.
Whoa.
And we still haven't figured out to this day how they got the routing number, how they got the bank account.
Oh, that's creepy.
Somehow it's all interconnected.
Well, maybe when you deposited the check, they noted where it went, something like that.
Yeah.
And you were talking about this the other night, the card that you had gotten, Captain, and the divvying up the payments and all that. And it was actually in the context of ATM restrictions when you brought that story up before. And that same thing, I don't think this article mentions it, but that same thing happened in Nigeria. And I don't know what the current status is of the ATM restrictions, but remember, people were smashing the ATMs in Nigeria during these banking riots. And part of that reason was because the Nigerian government had said, remember, you can come in and turn in your old Nigerian naira and we'll give you the new naira, except we're only going to let you pull out $40 a day on the ATM.
Yeah, so if you come in with like 10 grand and they're like, okay, there's 10 grand in your account, and you're like, great, can I pull 10 grand up? They're like, nope,
sorry.
You
got
to go to the ATM and you can only get $40.
Right, and the line's wrapping around the block, by the way, because everybody needs the new currency to buy food, and it was an absolute nightmare. So after 108 days, according to Mises.org, the new president ended the, quote, experiment, and he allowed the validity of the old currency, which they were trying to get everybody to turn in and cash in, because most people don't have bank accounts in Nigeria, so most people had physical currency stashed somewhere, right?
Right.
And that's what they really wanted. They really wanted people to come in, get banked, become part of the system, put all your money in our system, and get out the e-Naira instead.
Didn't the U.S. demand everybody to turn in their gold at some point?
They did.
When I worked in foreign embassies in South America, it was always a big thing that the ambassadors would talk about is ungoverned spaces and informal economies. Like one of their big pushes, you know, they would subsidize foreign law enforcement agencies to try to attack people that were working in the informal economy, the black markets, the gray markets, you know, when they like to say ungoverned spaces, suggesting that everybody's like a terrorist and, you know, an evil drug lord.
Babysitter over here is a terrorist.
This lady making tacos.
Yeah, but it's actually, that's one of the great things about Latin America. You can look at the law books and think, I'm moving to a very draconian environment with a very, you know, bureaucratic, a lot of red tape. But when you go there, I'm sure Mark has noticed that, very little of that is enforced. There's a whole lot of what you would call informality.
Yeah.
That, yeah, you're supposed to pay taxes for everything. It sounds worse than the U.S. on paper, but actually, you know, it's easy to own a gun. It's easy to go to a drugstore and get whatever you want, you know, and it's easy to do things without taxes. All the black markets down there where everyone does their shopping, when my wife and I would go shopping, there's this common thing they say, do you want con factura or sin factura? That means, do you want the government receipt that shows you paid your taxes, or you just want a piece of paper that says how much you paid? And so everybody said,
the below board.
Sin factura. In other words, give me the receipt. And even the cops that would do all their shopping in the black markets, the same things. No one's going to be dumb enough to pay the taxes. So
it's amazing.
You know, you can have all these regulations in these countries, but what matters is what's really enforced.
Yeah.
You know?
So Nigeria ended the mandate that people didn't have to use, that they were no longer able to use the old currency. They allowed people to use the old currency again, and all of a sudden people can eat again, right? So they arrested the central banker, and they're prosecuting him apparently. He's currently in custody. And they say here at Mises.org, influential protectors from the International Monetary Fund, the Federal Reserve, and even the White House, which singled out Nigeria as the global debutante of currency digitalization, remain silent. From the perspective of the start of the monetary experiment in Nigeria, it appears that the government in Abuja had neither the appetite nor a clear plan for this digitalization. The advisors from the World Economic Forum, the IMF, or perhaps the Bureau of Industry and Security, lacked a plan as well, despite their strong adherence to digitalization strategies. Why didn't these overseers react and halt the digitalization? Was there another purpose for it? depriving 100 million people of their means to live for 3.5 months, borders on an act of genocide. Yet, a tragedy did not occur. How did poor Nigerians survive for 3.5 months without money, reserves, or any help from the state?
Great question.
Nigerians, unlike most residents of the Group of Seven countries, don't believe a word their government representatives say.
Yay, Nigerians!
Feeling deceived once again, when it became clear that neither the old nor the new Naira worked, people took to the streets. Shots were fired, and a few people died. In response to refusals to accept their old cash, which was invalidated at the end of January, people without bank accounts, legal cash, or any savings resorted to traditional methods, barter and trade credit. Matchstick holders exchanged them for yams with farmers. Soap producers traded for fuel, and small business owners extended longer credit terms to their contractors. Teachers and cleaners from local schools sought help, mainly food, from the families of their students. Nigerians' natural lack of faith in statism, something wealthy citizens of Germany or Canada might consider imprudent, prevented a similar outcome as that of the Canadian Freedom Convoy. It is, after all, due to their country's monetary policy that German retirees are experiencing difficulties. According to Nigerians, a weak small state might not help them, but at least the value-added tax in Nigeria is at most 5%, and tax collections do not exceed 25%. Healthcare may be deficient, but people have more trust in their shamans than the board and big pharma corrupted doctors. Speeding fines are rare due to a lack of police officers, but there's no labor inspection, and no one forces anyone to take an experimental vaccine. Tribal groups, rural authorities, and neighbors provided assistance. Families, which in African life are the ultimate support, helped. Self-help was the basis of survival for the Nigerians deprived of any assistance. The author says, I'm writing this because soon much more status nations will undergo similar currency digitalization.
And I think that's where voluntarist types, libertarians, anarchists, whatever, have an edge over the rest of the world right now, because that's part of sort of the libertarian ethos right now is homestead, grow your own, raise your own, you know, be self-sufficient as much as possible, because that's how we survive these kinds of things. And
right.
That thing is coming. We know it is. It's just a matter of time with the U.S. dollar, right? It's not a question of if it's going to crash.
When.
It's just when, right? They've been kicking that can down the road for all of my life, but, of course, the value of the dollar continues to go down on a daily basis. So how far can they kick it down the road before it finally tanks?
We don't know.
But that's why it's important to have these alternative infrastructures.
Yeah, and practice with them, too.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it's one thing to stack up gold bars in a safe or bury them in the backyard or whatever, but it's a whole other thing to actually go out there and use them and bring, you know, get those gold backs, go to the farmer's market, try to ask people if they will accept them. Certainly cultivating relationships within the Liberty community, and we certainly have that here in New Hampshire where if you're in the Liberty community here and you offer a product or service, you're offering it likely with multiple currencies that you're willing to accept.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are going to ask you, do you take cryptocurrency? Do you take gold back? So this is something we're practiced at up here, and it's something that more people need to consider doing. That way you're not caught completely inexperienced with these things when the time comes.
I like Jay Noon, how, you know, when I listen to Free Talk Live, he quite often talks about making arrangements to buy bales of hay or to buy and sell meat, you know, and to propose using these little barter pieces of silver or the gold backs. And and it kind of surprises me how often he has success just proposing that to people who maybe aren't part of the Liberty community, but they go precious metals. They recognize that and see what it is. And just something you said, Ian, about people in foreign countries kind of knowing about relying on each other, taking care of themselves. My wife and I were sitting at Taco Bell today, and next to us was a woman, obviously from Africa, speaking some African language, mostly that we didn't understand. Mm. But every now and then there was bits of English, and she was talking about money she was sending to different people. And a thing that she said was that she couldn't cut in these areas, which she says, I have to send money to my mother, you know, back in Africa.
Yeah.
And that part was in English. And, you know, that whoever she was talking to on the phone about that was having financial demands or, you know, shared costs for roommates or whatever it was. Just that sense that's kind of been lost in the U.S. with Social Security and all the other, forms of, you know, subsidized living from the government. People have kind of lost that feeling of family relying on each other, yeah, and neighbors taking care of each other and not doing a conduit through the government before an old person is taken care of.
Right.
But, you know, we notice that in South America as well. You know, they don't have the Social Security network. And, you know, Medicare provided, you know, long-term care for nursing homes. So people have their aging mom or their grandma living with them at home. You know, it's just kind of
right.
Part of, you know, people that live closer to reality, realize that neighbors and family needs to rely on each other.
So the final wrap-up here from Mises.org is the situation in Lagos, Abuja, and Port Harcourt is returning to normal, and the e-Naira is one of several legal currencies. Okay, so confirmed, it still exists.
All three. So the old Naira,
the new Naira,
and the e-Naira all now exist. So two more currencies have emerged from what was going to be one replacing the
other. But still
the
crappy government money, just three different
All three of them are crappy government money, yes.
After the U.S. dollar exchange rate was freed, black market prices fell to the official level. The Nigerian Exchange Group, expressed in U.S. dollars, has risen by 37% so far in 2023. Naira inflation is declining faster than inflation in the U.S. Since the central banker's arrest, the specter of the CBDC monopoly has disappeared. Those who find electronic money more convenient can use it. When that convenience is lost, they will switch to cash or its digital alternative. And people now know that there wouldn't have been such chaos if the currency digitalization was voluntary and not accompanied by cash delegalization. Will Nigeria's case help other global bankers, central bankers, and citizens arrive at a similar conclusion? Probably not, so we await the next economic disaster.
What I find most enthusiastic about real cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin and, you know, Monero, things of that nature, Dash, to an extent that they're the most spendable one, is that whatever governments do or don't do, right, cryptocurrency is only going to grow. It's a superior product, right? It's not owned. It's not controlled. It just is. It just exists without permission. And it does its job, and it does it better than, well, any other currency planet Earth has ever seen before. Not to mention that we've only touched the tip of the iceberg with the technology, the blockchain itself, right? So this is just the first thing that blockchain has produced that is recognizable and life-changing to most humans. So governments right now, what we're seeing with this thing in Nigeria and the CBDCs, we're seeing them playing catch-up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. They're not going to be able to do it. They're too slow.
They've
governments are lumbering giant oafs that, you know, one big leg in the ground, and then they wheel another big leg in the ground. They're never going to catch up to free technology, the money of the people.
That's the good news.
It's just never going to happen.
That doesn't mean they're not going to make it difficult.
Oh, they are certainly, like, we're in the throes of the death of the empire, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how close we are to mimicking Rome, but the empire is certainly on its way out based on fiat currency just existing, right? This is what empires do if you look at history. Once the fiat currency shows up and it starts getting devalued, well, the end of the empire is near.
This well, is usually war and global conflict helps with that, right? Like spreading your troops all over the planet, that usually helps accelerate the fall of the currency.
As they continue to conduct these experiments to see if they can get in on this action, figure out how they can control it and control us by mimicking something that is freely existing without permission, it's only going to increase adoption of the thing that they're trying to get in on the action of. So the Bitcoin cryptocurrency will be adopted more as they fail at these experiments.
And you know the tyrants right now are gathering the troops together and try to study, like, this is the Nigerian experiment. What are the lessons learned?
Right.
You know, they're not going to say, hey, this was a mistake. We shouldn't go this direction in the future. They're going to be, what do we need to do? Do we need to roll it out in different phases and slower phases? What kind of talking points do we need to have?
Yep.
That's what they're doing right now.
Yes.
They're going to just be regrouping IMF, Federal Reserve, all the central banks, and, you know, how they partner together through Davos, and they're going to be talking like, okay, what do we need to do different? Sad to say, I think it's coming for sure.
Oh, yeah.
It seems inevitable.
And it's going to have a large dose of force. Like you can see in Nigeria, like They're thinking, wow, this could look bad if, you know, like the state employees are so small compared to the regular people, like the analogy of a dog can just scratch the flea off its back, you know, like the state is very small in numbers, very small in number of employees, and they don't like to see that violent uprising and revolt, and I guarantee that's what they're talking about right now, how to soothe the masses.
Yeah, sadly, I don't think you're wrong. I do think that violence will happen. I don't think that it will be, at least I hope it won't be in the form of like a violent uprising. I think it's going to be more in like the state is now a fish out of water because it knows it's on the decline. It can't, you know, it's wearing its life vest. It can't keep going. So it's going to try and be violent to get its way to stay alive. And I think you're right. I think people are going to die before all is said and done. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that we can evolve past this statist mindset that this is useful in some way. It's not, right? All the evidence points to it. People just can't get their mind wrapped around it. They've been so inured by, you know, the propaganda, by the public schools, all that kind of thing, that they believe that this organization of violence is necessary. So I hope that it can be done peacefully.
Well, and when the fiat money becomes less spendable, the first things the tyrants are going to do is make sure it's spendable for them. Like one of the Caesars, I think it was Julius Caesar, said, make sure the soldiers get paid.
Right.
You know, like make sure that's the number one thing, you know, like to keep, to make sure you're secure, your position in the government.
That was one of their whole reasons for having a state-based coin in the first place, was so that they could pay the soldiers so they could go to war.
Well, good news. Apparently the Senate and the House have agreed on a 45-day extension of the government shutdown that was supposed to start tomorrow, but that has been delayed, so they passed like some sort of temporary
shut down?
Which means that they are not going to shut down.
I wish they would.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Well, of course, we all know that means they're not really shutting down. Just only so-called non-essential government services.
Yeah, they're going to close parks again. Right, they're going to cut off some seniors' Social Security again.
And although they were supposed to furlough the payments or halt paychecks to the military, to a good chunk of the military. That was one of the big...
Yeah, they're going to halt a bunch of that Ukrainian money?
Oh, no, not at all. That's really important, and, you know, money that needs to get to where it's going. So we're out of time just about here for tonight. David Hathaway, you know, do you have a website or anything like that you want to promote for people out there?
No. You know, I've written quite a bit on lewrockwell.com and Scott Horton's site, the Libertarian Institute.
Nice.
I don't mind if anybody sends me an email. I have a real easy email, just sheriffdavidhathaway@gmail.com. I always like to hear from people.
Okay. And you're doing a lot of interviews out there. You said 20 interviews a week, so probably they can look for your name and find some of that stuff, I imagine.
Yeah. A lot of different things where I've stood up against statism along the border, surveillance platforms and whatnot. So, yeah, you can go on YouTube, see TV interviews, or just, you know, go see my names on different podcasts and stuff.
Plug that book one more time, too, The Immigration.
Yeah. The author, David Hathaway, you can find it on his Amazon. It's called Immigration. The subtitle is Individual versus National Borders.
Thank you, David, for joining us here tonight.
Thank you, Ian.
Free Talk Live. We'll see you tomorrow online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need. You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight! right.
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.